the WyoNation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
You are listening to the WyoNation.com podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm very pleased to be joined tonight by the WyoNation.com recruiting guru, Mr. Ben Mitchum.
Thank you for having me on tonight, Chad. I look forward to talking about recruiting tonight.
All right, yes, let's get the crowd fired up. So, yeah, with the bye week in tow, we thought it'd be a good time to get Ben on the show. He's been writing about the recruits, but we haven't had him on the podcast yet, and it's a lot more exciting when you're a 1-10 football team to be talking about recruiting rather than games. So let's talk some recruiting, Ben.
Yeah, that's definitely true right now. Looking for any of the positives possible, and definitely on the recruiting front, regardless of the wins and losses, recruiting is looking up right now.
All right, great. So, yeah, I guess we could jump into that first. Obviously, the results on the field haven't been to where the players or the coaching staff and the fans want them to be, but has the product on the field impacted the recruiting so far?
So far, it actually seems like that the recruiting has not been affected by the wins and losses too much. Kind of like what Coach Bowles said, even when he was at North Dakota State, that even some of the years that when they had their lowest moments, they got some of their best recruiting classes. Sure, there are always some recruits that when they're looking for a program, winning prestige is very important. But then there are other recruits where the ability to be more of a connection with the coaches and the players and the university and the ability to play early and start trumps anything about wins and losses. And it seems like so far that a lot of the recruits are very receptive about the ability to move the program forward and really seeing the vision what the coaches are trying to show the future of Wyoming football. So they're more likely they're seeing the fit, and also the ability to play early and start is probably a big reason right now over the wins and losses.
That's right. And the most important thing that I think people often overlook is this recruiting process is all about relationships and the relationship between the head coach, and more impactful is the relationship between the player and his position coach during this process. So it sounds like Wyoming is still getting out there and getting a positive message across to these potential players.
That is definitely very true on that behalf. And that's good to see that the coaches are still keeping going along the company line and still staying positive and preaching the future of the Wyoming football program.
That's right. So, all right. So as I look at this class here on our WyoNation.com recruiting page, so remember it's on the front page now, and you could always find it at WyoNation.com/recruiting. I see right now, I guess we have 10 known commits, plus I think maybe a walk-on commit already. I think a long snapper from back east. So he's not on our list, but we need to find a way to get him on there as a walk-on.
You are correct.
Okay, but just looking at this class in general, what do you think of it so far?
As so far, I mean, especially to have 10 verbal commitments this early in the recruiting cycle is definitely a very big plus, in my opinion. And also, you see on here, sure, there are some recruits that may not have a big offer list, but as a whole, there's some recruits on this in this recruiting class that have some pretty impressive offer lists. I know you can't pretty much just always go who is offered a recruit, but at the same time, it's kind of nice from the fan perspective to kind of see who is wanted from other universities. Kind of shows the upgrade in talent. So far, I would say, I mean, some positions that look like they're standing out amongst others. I mean, I really like the offensive guards that the Cowboys are bringing in so far. Gavin Rush, a 6'3", a 280-pound offensive guard from Aurora, Nebraska. He picked Wyoming over Montana, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. Sure, those are FCS programs, but as we know, they're very good FCS programs. And these are Rush is exactly the type of recruit that Coach Bull and his staff built North Dakota State with. And Rush is definitely, much like the other recruit, the offensive guard and Jace Webb from Hollis, Oklahoma, who's a 6'4", 297-pounder. Both of them are explosive offensive guards that could see the field quite early. When it comes to Webb, he picked Wyoming on September 7th, while Rush picked Wyoming on July 12th. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but nonetheless, Webb, he picked Wyoming over offers from Arkansas, Army, Louisville, Ohio, and Tulsa. Some of these Oklahoma commits for Wyoming have pretty impressive commit lists. So, I mean, commit offer lists. So that's nice to see. Some
that's
other
right.
positions. Yep. That is, I mean, definitely for the fans aspect. I mean, that really gets them going when they see that Wyoming's getting prospects over some really quality programs. Another position that seems of need is linebacker. And so far, Wyoming has three linebacker commits. Two of them stand out to me. First of all, Shana Windsor out of Ada, Oklahoma, a 6'3", 220-pounder. He picked Wyoming on September 20th, and he committed to Wyoming over Memphis and Ohio. Winslow definitely already has the size to see the field fairly early. And then the other guy that stands out is David Engelhoff. He's 6'4", 230 pounds out of Norfolk Catholic there in Nebraska. With him being around 6'4", 230, 235 pounds, he could definitely be somebody that you could see the Cowboys moving into the interior, into the defensive line, maybe play him as a defensive end. He committed to the Cowboys on June 27th. He also had offers from North Dakota, Northern Iowa, South Dakota, and South Dakota State. So much kind of like Gavin Rush, he's a kid that had quality FCS offers from the Missouri Valley Conference.
And yeah, then we kind of I was looking at Engelhoff's film, Ben, and he was playing a lot of looks like he does play defensive end for them, but they're listing him as a linebacker. So do you think they may start him out at outside linebacker perhaps?
Well, it may be a case that he originally was more of a linebacker, and then maybe Wyoming, I don't have a definitive answer on that, but maybe Wyoming's looking at him more so as a defensive end down the road, and maybe his high school program, seeing that he has improved his size and strength, has also moved him down to defensive end. Maybe that's where his future is at, but not only that, he kind of fits that stereotype defensive end size-wise already, being 6'4", 235 pounds. I mean, he's definitely somebody you could see being 250 pounds plus pretty quickly. I mean, the polar opposite of Carl Granderson we saw this year from last year's recruiting class, where he had the height being like 6'6", but he was lucky to be around 200 pounds. I mean, as we've known, he's had to play a lot this year. Someone like Engelhoff, he definitely has the size to play right away, definitely at linebacker, but also at defensive end. But looking over the final list of the 10 commits so far, two other guys that stand out are wide receiver K.J. Wells, another Oklahoma commit. It's a common theme looking through the commitment list that Wyoming has done a really good job in the states of Oklahoma and Colorado this year. Of course, Colorado is expected because outside of Wyoming, it's kind of the bread and butter state for Wyoming. But K.J. Wells is a 6'4", 185-pound wide receiver at Idabel, Oklahoma. He picked Wyoming on May 29th, and he committed to Wyoming over yet another very impressive offer list of Oklahoma State, TCU, and UTEP, among many others. So even with Wyoming getting a very good and big wide receiver class last year, we saw many of these wide receivers already playing this year out of necessity, considering due to injury or who we had returning. Wells definitely stands a really good shot of playing early next year. I mean, he's one of the top 15 prospects in the state of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is definitely a state that has a fair amount of talent, as we know with already with the commitment list of last year and this year for the Cowboys. And lastly is quarterback Chandler Garrett, 6'4", 215-pounder from Mustang, Oklahoma, once again. Chandler pretty much committed to the Wyoming on May 21st, visited Laramie on June 11th and 12th. He committed to Wyoming over Air Force. So he's yet another player to keep an eye on for next year, even though Wyoming returns Josh Allen and Nick Smith. So we may not see Garrett immediately, but he's definitely somebody who looks like he's going to be a quality quarterback into the future.
No, oh, yeah, he definitely fits the mold. And I haven't watched film of him until this past weekend. And what jumped out to me is for some reason I thought he was a pocket passer, but no, he really is a dual threat quarterback. Now he may not be as fast as some of the other ones, but he's very mobile and has good size. So I think he's someone who this coaching staff, do you think that they're kind of switching the paradigm a little bit than what they had maybe at North Dakota State in terms of the quarterbacks, where they're looking for guys who can stay in the pocket, but also guys who are maybe a little bit more mobile than our current quarterback and Cam Kaufman, who can, if things break down, they can get outside the pocket with their feet?
Well, that could definitely be the truth. But at the same time, up at North Dakota State, both Carson Wentz and Jensen before him, they were big, tall, powerful quarterbacks, but they had the ability to move a little bit. But I think the coaching staff and Coach Vegan and Coach Bowler are seeing that they need a quarterback that not only can sit there in the pocket to run that West Coast offense, pro-style offense, but somebody, if things start breaking down, has the ability to kind of get out and get away and make something happen with his feet. I mean, we kind of saw that right away when Josh Allen came in the ball game. His ability to run proved to be very effective. Of course, it kind of led to his injury in the end as well. But yeah, I kind of see the coaching staff kind of moving not only to their prototypical 6'4", 210-plus size quarterback, but somebody that has the ability to get outside the pocket, improvise a little bit, just give them more of a dual threat. So, yeah, I can see that as a definite thing that they're trying to move to a little bit.
All right. Now, another name, I know you already talked about the linebackers, but what jumps out to me when I looked at some of this film is the linebacker out of Denver, Adrian King, 6'2", 210. Probably needs to put on a little weight, obviously, to become a Division I linebacker. But when I look at his film, he has a little bit of nasty in him. And I think that's something that this defense lacks. And so I think he could be a guy. He may redshirt, but maybe with that little mean streak that you could see that he has, that might be someone who might be able to get into that rotation as early as next year.
Well, most definitely. I mean, considering that Wyoming linebackers is definitely a position of need, and also from a depth position perspective right away. Keen at being 6'2", 210 pounds, we have to kind of think about ourselves currently with the Wyoming football program. Not a lot of the linebackers are very big to start with. I mean, that's kind of hurting the Cowboys at the moment. And so Keen's really not at a disadvantage compared to a lot of the current linebackers on roster. But, yeah, he has very good athletic ability. He can definitely lay the lumber. He would be somebody that would be kind of nice to be able to redshirt him, develop him further. But we'll just have to see next season if the depth allows for even in many of these guys to actually even redshirt. But, yeah, I mean, we can't forget him, even with Engelhaupt and Shiloh Windsor. We definitely can't forget about Adrian King. I mean, I would assume very possibly we could still see yet another commitment or so coming from the linebacker position this year as well.
All right. So, yeah, I guess that will move us on to basically the same frame of the conversation I'd like to have with you here. So maybe what are some other names that we need to keep on that are on the recruiting radar of this coaching staff?
Well, some other names to keep an eye on. I mean, we've had some recent offers that have kind of gone out, kind of like Jordan Chin. He'll be visiting Wyoming on December 11th. He's a wide receiver out of California. At this moment, he holds three offers. He's definitely, yet again, another wide receiver to keep an eye on. Wyoming has some wide receiver offers out at the moment, kind of like the aforementioned Jordan Chin, who's 6'1", 150 pounds. So he's definitely somebody that definitely needs to be physically developed, something that you probably would assume would be redshirted. He's out of Chaminade, California. Other names that we have offers out right now to is Drew Dan out of Chakotah, Oklahoma, Parker Dumas out Mount Si, Washington, Sam McGann out of Oregon City, Oregon, John Okolwala out of North Canyon, Arizona, Chase Allen, who's out of Nixie, Missouri, who definitely could also possibly be a tight end prospect because he's sitting around about 6'7", 225 pounds. So right now, those are some names to keep an eye on that offers are out on the table. But I know there are still wide receivers out in Colorado, California, Oklahoma, Kansas. I know, like in the state of Kansas, there's two wide receivers that the coaching staff are keeping their eye on in Darja Parnell, Andover Central, and Christian Jingen out of Mill Valley. Both Parnell and Jingen are starting to pick up a lot of interest after putting up a very productive senior seasons in the state of Kansas. Parnell was originally a Central Arkansas basketball commit. He still may be technically committed to Central Arkansas, but he's definitely started picking up a lot of MAC offers as of late. And I know he's somebody that the Wyoming coaching staff are keeping an eye on. So that's from like the wide receiver perspective. Other positions, what other positions would you possibly like to look
around?
Well,
I don't know. I guess just what is, from what you know out there, what positions are they really targeting to try to finish out this class?
Well, definitely both on the offensive and defensive line. I know that recently they offered Council Bluffs, Iowa, Lewis Central defensive tackle, J. Kai Baker. Currently, Wyoming is the only offer, but he's definitely picking up a lot more interest. He's 6'8", 260 pounds, so he's definitely somebody that needs to fill out at 260 pounds. But at 6'8", I mean, he's definitely going to swallow up a lot of that interior. Right now, he's looking to visit Wyoming in or around between December 19th and 21st. Other visits he could possibly take is to South Dakota State, as well as Northern Iowa. And then on the offensive side of the ball, recently, Wyoming is looking to still fill out maybe one offensive tackle position. And they recently gave an offer out to Hunter Vaughn out of Colorado, no more than soon after that Wyoming offered. I don't know if they offered right after or just like a day or two before Hunter Vaughn turned around and committed to the University of Colorado. So that was an offer that went out, that quickly went off the board. A name that Wyoming has brought in for an official visit and still working very hard at is Oshawa Beyond High School offensive tackle out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, Aaron Servas. He's 6'6", 270-pounder. He's planning to make a decision sometime in early December, but so far he's made official visits to Wyoming as well as Bowling Green. So he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on, because I know Coach Fuchs will be out there to Wisconsin here during the bye week, which we'll get into somewhere some of the coaches are at in that bye week here in a little bit. But definitely he's somebody to keep an eye on for that offensive tackle position. Other names to keep an eye on, another linebacker offer went out to Oak Park, Illinois, River Forest, inside linebacker Jamari Moore. He recently picked an offer from Wyoming. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. He has scholarship offers from Wyoming, Illinois State, and Indiana State. He's somebody that's pretty much like Baker. They're still debating if distance is going to be a factor in their recruitment. So if distance does not become a factor, you will definitely see guys like Baker and Moore coming from Iowa and Illinois, coming out to Laramie with that being no problem whatsoever. But they're definitely guys that have FCS offers more in that local Missouri Valley region. So getting them on campus is very important, nonetheless, to make them see if they really like and can see themselves being Laramie for the next 4 years. one last other name or two to look at is Brandon Robinson. He's a 6 foot, 195 pound safety athlete. He's definitely somebody to really keep an eye on for committing to Wyoming definitely soon. He's still looking at making possible visits to Wyoming, Colorado State, Nevada, and UCLA. Excuse me. But he has family connections to Wyoming. His grandmother lived in Cheyenne up until recently, where she moved to Anchorage, Alaska, where actually Robinson was born. But he's looking to make a commitment sometime around December and early January. But that could change if he found a school that he really enjoys. But he's somebody that he's been showing a lot of love recently for Wyoming. And I could definitely see once he takes a visit to Wyoming as somebody that could definitely go into the fold for the Cowboys. And the last name of kind of recent interest and offers for Wyoming is Rico Bussey, 6 foot, 170-pound wide receiver at a lot in Oklahoma. He was offered on November 5th and also was offered from Air Force Army, New Mexico State. So yet another Oklahoma kid of interest. Him and Bussey, Andrew Dan are two Oklahoma kids that you could definitely keep your eye on for future commitments to Wyoming. So those are just some names to kind of keep an eye on going forth that Wyoming just recently offered, who may be possibly offering, visiting soon to Laramie.
All right. Yeah, no, thank you. That's some great information. And I challenge anybody out there to find someone who has more of that information compiled more than you, Ben.
Thank you.
Now, a question I have for you, I guess, is I know this has been a player who's been talked about on our board, and excuse my ignorance, I didn't write his name down, but I think he's a Wyoming kid somewhere up there, and I want to say Jackson.
Theo Dawson.
Theo Dawson. Yep. So I know a lot of people are interested in him. What are you hearing about his interest in Wyoming and then our staff's interest?
Well, of course, he's the only offer out of the kid out of the state of Wyoming that the Wyoming coaching staff has offered so far this year. The thing that you got to realize about Dawson, I believe his father played at BYU. So he even though he's an in-state kid, he's maybe been somebody kind of always had his eye more like a BYU and some outside schools, but I know the coaching staff has continued to recruit him really hard and would definitely love to bring him in. But we'll just have to see once he starts making official visits where his true intentions are when it comes to Wyoming or he's looking to get out of the state. But he would definitely be a linebacker that could definitely see the field very early for Wyoming. I mean, he's already very physically put together, very good athlete. I mean, he's definitely a D1 worthy prospect. So he's still a kid at this moment. I mean, kind of information is a little bit hard to come by from him. He doesn't really talk much about his recruitment. But outside of Wyoming, teams like Boise State or BYU are definitely teams you have to keep your eye on, especially considering he's up there in that northwest part of the state.
All right. Now, that's certainly something to keep in mind. So as we're looking at this class, and I don't know if you have the answer to this question, but maybe you do. There's 10 scholarships in fold right now. We do know that you're allowed to sign 25 in a given class, you know, plus or minus the gray shirts and all the nonsense that goes on there. But are they expecting to sign a full 25 this?
I mean, they could possibly sign the full 25, but what I've been told as of late is – at least expect somewhere there in the early 20s, at least. They may – so this Wyoming coaching staff is good at doing the object of holding a couple scholarships available. Excuse me, holding a couple of scholarships available for a prospect that comes during the springtime that may not qualify elsewhere or for one reason or another, something fell through at signing day and they're still available come springtime. The staff may hold a couple scholarships open for next spring, but as far as I've been told right now that they're looking for anything in early 20s, but 25 scholarship number definitely could be a very real possibility as well. But nonetheless, they will somewhere in the early 20s will be taken.
All right. No, that's good information again. So, yeah, I know a lot of schools do that now with the academic side and all the other things that go on. It's smart to keep a couple in your back pocket just in case someone you think can really help you comes along in the spring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, generally, sometimes what happens is a case of a kid that's dreaming big. And let's say he's a Missouri, I mean, he's a Mountain West MAC level recruit, but he's still dreaming of maybe playing the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the Big 12. And these schools in these Power 5 conferences are telling this kid that hold off, don't commit. When we get right by signing day, we'll let you know if there's anything available for you. You're right at the top of our board for the next person to offer. So this kid waits, and then when time comes to signing day and his spot for the P5 schools are not there for one reason or another, he still comes available. So when those type of kids, generally, maybe you'll see them commit really, really quickly to their next tier of schools at the non-P5 schools, or these kids kind of wait a little longer into the spring to see if anything shakes out where there's P5 schools they're still trying to fill their class that may come back and try to recruit them then. But nonetheless, the staff will still keep on these kids with the hope that they can bring them in the springtime.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You see that a lot for a lot of people who really follow this, where these bigger schools, they string along a lot of these kids to the bitter end just to cover them up in case they have defections. So it's just the way recruiting goes, for better or worse.
Yep, definitely Milo Hall is a good example of that. It wasn't so much looking for the bigger offer, but with Wyoming still having that scholarship available, it gave him the opportunity to bring a very talented player out of Denver into the fold, which is another player that's played right off the bat. We've seen two of the running backs out of that freshman class play this year. So Milo was definitely a case of a late spring open scholarship possibility.
That's right. Okay, so we know we're here in the bye week for the Cowboys, which is, it's a really late bye week. But maybe the coaching staff can take advantage of it. Being late in this recruiting cycle, it may help. Do you have any idea where the coaches are out recruiting this week?
Well, even going back to pretty much the last week, the staff had 5 coaches out there in Los Angeles recruiting. So from looking forward to this bye week, you can definitely tell that the coaching staff is trying to put a lot of emphasis in the state of California. Be having 5 coaches out there in Los Angeles the last week. Coming this bye week, they're going to have Gordie Haug in California. They're going to have Coach Richardson in California and Coach Calgus in California. Those 3 will be hitting up the JUCOs and the high schools. We'll see Coach Cooper in Arizona hitting both the high schools and the JUCOs there in California. One prevailing point of emphasis on this bye week, is you'll see that the coaching staff will be out hitting the JUCOs hard. So Coach Bull as a whole, where he would prefer from a recruiting standpoint to fill out his recruiting class pretty much with mostly all high school kids. But there could be 3 or 4 JUCO kids in this coming recruiting class filling immediate needs and holes for this coming season. So you'll have those 3 out there in California after having 5 out last week in Los Angeles. Then you'll also sign Fuchs in Wisconsin out there recruiting. Definitely have a whole bunch of offers still out there in the state of Wisconsin. There's still some kids out there that are borderline between FCS and division and FBS that could still possibly get some offers out. I mean, we're talking about Service as a possible name. Wyoming's still recruiting really heavily. So it's nice to see Coach Fuchs up there in Wisconsin. And then, of course, we have Coach Bath. We'll be in the state of Kansas recruiting both the JUCOs in the Kansas Jayhawk Conference and some of those high school kids are remaining uncommitted in the state of Kansas. And lastly, Coach Mallory will be in Illinois recruiting. So that pretty much wrap up a lot where the staff will be during the bye week, from what I've been told.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty wide footprint, and I find it very interesting because I was going to talk to you about this, is that they're hitting the JUCOs. And as you said, Coach Bull, the hallmark of his programs are to build from the bottom up with high school kids that you could redshirt and build into the program. But I think he's seeing right away, especially through this year and especially on the defensive side of the ball, to where if they could find some JUCO guys who could come in and bring a little maturity and maybe have a little bit more size, especially at the linebacker position, that would be a really nice thing to be able to add for a couple years.
Well, it's one of those, actually, the situation last year, even though the coaching staff did not take a JUCO player, I do know the staff was looking at JUCO linebackers down there in Kansas at the Kansas JUCO, Kansas Jayhawk Conference, but then, of course, didn't find anyone either bit or was up to snuff of what they were looking for that was available. But yeah, definitely linebacker is one position that you'll see them hitting hard amongst the JUCO ranks. And kind of like you made mention, of course, as we've seen as the season has progressed, the Cowboys are still definitely lacking in experience, depth, overall talent at some positions. With this being a developmental program, wanting your kids to have the chance to redshirt, develop, and then move on and more at a bigger size as they get older, sometimes bringing these JUCO kids in definitely helps save the developmental issue going forth for the Cowboys. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a very smart thing for what Coach Bull and the staff are doing, even though I know they want to pretty much stick with the high school ranks. But it's kind of out of necessity this year to bring in a couple or a few or more JUCO recruits.
Okay, and I don't know if you'll have any information on this guy, but it's something that stuck out to me. We do have some help that will help us next season, and a transfer from UCLA. And I do believe his name, he's a cornerback. I think his name is Ortiz.
Ortiz, yes, Jalen Ortiz, I believe is his name. Yeah, he's definitely somebody that was a really high – I think he may even been possibly a four-star prospect out of Arizona, four-star prospect out of Arizona. Went to UCLA, actually saw a little bit of time right off the bat at UCLA, and then started, for one reason or the other, started kind of getting buried in the depth chart and quickly realized that he wanted to start and he wanted the opportunity to showcase his abilities. And luckily enough, the Cowboys were able to bring him in later in the summertime.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. A Pac-12 caliber athlete coming in who you would think at the very least should be able to break into that cornerback rotation next fall.
Yep, stand a very good chance of starting, even though the corners we have going right now are quite young, but they're definitely gaining a lot of experience. They're definitely pretty good athletes, but somebody of Ortiz' pedigree and athletic ability will definitely be a very nice added feature to the defense next year.
All right. So I think that pretty much wraps up our agenda for the night. I didn't know if you have any closing comments that you would like to make, Ben.
Well, I guess the one thing I would have to say is it's really nice to see that the coaching staff is sticking to their recruiting message, to their general focus, to what they want to accomplish going forth for the program for the future. They're trying not to really do too many shortcuts whatsoever. They're definitely sticking to their plan, which is very nice to see. And with all the positivity that's going on, even with the losing, it's nice to see these team commitments already, which, you know, for Wyoming at this time, even before reaching winter time, is a lot of commitments already. And there's a lot of really good quality prospects that have been verbally committed. And hopefully those 10, right now it does sound like they're all firm. We'll hope that holds true all the way to February 3rd. But with this recruiting class pretty much being already half filled, and really gives the opportunity for the coaching staff looking across at the recruiting board with the offers they already have out right now to really put a focus on a smaller amount of possible future commits than having to have the whole aspect of having to try to fill a whole recruiting class in a month or two period. So that's very nice to see that the staff is already halfway done in this year's recruiting class. And it'll be very interesting to see what also offers that will be coming down the pipes here soon due to the fact that these recruits are now finishing up their seasons, and those who are still in the playoffs, wherever state they come from, once their season stops, you'll start seeing some of these kids finally coming off the board, good or bad for the Cowboys, which will go to the next focus of guys being offered. So it'll be really interesting to follow on those aspects of the recruiting front.
That's right, and we will be sure to get back in touch with you here probably in a month in the mid-December timeframe, and we'll do another one of these to see how things are going. And by then, I'd expect probably at least 5 more commits. I think the visits will be coming fast and furious here as the season wraps up.
Yep, that'd be definitely very nice, especially from the board aspect, having the chance to actually write more articles. I mean, things have just been a little slow. Sometimes that kind of happens during the season. Recruiting, I mean, behind the scenes, Coach Haug and also Matt Gaynor, they're working really hard, not only on this recruiting class, but next year's recruiting class, leading up towards signing day. Things are really going to start getting moving here soon. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about, a lot of new commits to talk about in the podcast and also on the site.
That's right. So, you can follow me, Chad Smith, on Twitter at Wyo Nation Blog is where I'm at. And Ben, what's your Twitter handle so the folks could track down all this great recruiting information?
That's kind of a good question to ask. It's Ben Mitchum at Twitter.com. I always forget exactly what my Twitter handle is. It's either Ben_Mitchum or it's just Ben Mitchum.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll look it up in the post of this podcast.
Yeah, I apologize for not knowing my Twitter handle.
It's okay. I'll post it, the link to Ben's profile for everybody out there listening to this, so you can track him down, because he's always tweeting about offers and he finds the tweets faster than anybody of players who mention Wyoming visits and the such. So Ben's Twitter page is a great resource if you're interested in Wyoming recruiting.
Okay. Thank you for having me on tonight, Chad.
Yeah, thank you, Ben, and we'll see how this wraps up, and we will talk to you soon, and we'll have a lot of great things to talk about, I hope.
Yep, go Pokes.
All right, yeah, go Pokes.